I'm starting in Genesis 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. On the seventh day, God finished the work that God had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that God had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord made the heavens and the earth, when no plant on the field had yet been in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet been sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no one to till the ground, but a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flows out of Eden to water the garden, and from it there it divides and becomes four branches. The name of the first is Pishon, and it is the one that flows around the whole land of Havilah, and where there is gold, and the gold of the land is good. And Delim and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon, and it is the one who flows around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria, and the fourth river is the Euphrates. Then God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man shall be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground the Lord formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then God took out one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken." Therefore, a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. I wonder, when you were looking at your pew Bibles, did you notice the heading above verse 5, which reads, "Another account of creation"? And when I was doing the final proof for this bulletin this week, I had seen that there had been some correction. Instead of chapter 2, it said chapter 2, verses 5 through 24. And I'm still a little jet-lagged. I didn't think I put this, and I said, "Brad, didn't I write chapter 2? Brad's the admin who looks over all these things. He goes, "Yes. But Maggie, you included the last part of the first creation story and started giving me the history of the Sabbath and all that kind of stuff." And I said, I know that. I purposely left in the end of the first creation story to remind the people in the pews that there's two creation stories. And the first one that begins in the beginning and has the 6 days of creation, and then this story. Both of them are there. You have God created humankind in God's image, male and female, he created them. And then you have this text where the Lord made the heavens and earth and formed the human creature out of the dust of the ground and breathed earth and life into that earth. Now, I suspect many of you already know there's two creation stories, but I wonder when you discovered that. I figured out when I was in college in campus ministry and they were doing this Bible study and they're referring to the two creation stories and I didn't know there were two, so I just faked it. I went, And then I went back and I looked and indeed there were two stories. I don't know how I missed it. The one I heard about was the rib and all that kind of stuff. And I liked the other one, I have to admit, because it said man and woman created in God's image. Now, sometimes I think it would have been a bit easier if there were only one story, but a lot less interesting. Bruce Birch said, "Some have found it confusing to have two accounts of our human createdness, but it is not necessary for us to choose between them, to privilege one over the other, or to force them to harmonize. Neither witness alone could do justice to the complexity of the gifts the Creator has bestowed on human creatures. We recognize the truth in ourselves in each of these stories." The Hebrew writer wisely understood that we have a need for both. And it might be much more interesting to ask, why did the writer sit down and include both of them in the scriptures? I wonder if we get lost in the compare and the contrast, one I like better than the other, that we lose the ultimate deeper, broad meaning of these stories. The ultimate meaning that creation is found in the heart and the purpose of the Creator. And the Creator and the creature cannot be understood apart from each other. The Creator has a will and a purpose for creation. It's about relationship. It's about covenant. As Roberta Hestenes said, "Another thing I get from these two stories is that life is a gift. I didn't give it to myself. I am not responsible for it, but I receive it. And in receiving it, it moves me into gratitude for the gift of life." But I want to move back into the story, our common birth story, so to say. God created the earth, a stream of water rising out of it, but there was no one to till the ground. And God formed man out of dust of the ground and breathed life into his nostrils, and that mud creature became a living being. And then God promptly puts that living being into the garden. And there's a bit of wordplay here. The word for dust is Adamah. See, it sounds like Adam. That's where he later gets the name Adam, from that mud man, so to say. It has the image of God almost being a potter, God the creator. And the same dust that creates this mud man creates all the plants and all the living creatures, all out of the same dirt. And God creates a tree of knowledge and a tree of good and evil. And God says you can eat everything, all that you need to eat, to survive, and all you need for the beauty of the eye and shelter. It's permitted for you. Enjoy it. But there's also a word of prohibition. There's some limits. You can't eat of that tree of good and evil. That's the one you can't eat of. And we kind of get stuck sometimes in the no, in the prohibition. And maybe we see the permit, maybe we see the eat of everything you need, but we almost always miss that the man is given a vocation. The man is to till the garden and to keep it. That is man's starting role. He is to share in creation with the Creator. That's God's gift to the man. And from the beginning of creation, the human creature is called, expected to share in God's work. And the word till, this is an interesting one, the word till means to serve. The man is to serve God's work, to be in partnership with God. And the human creature gets to name all the other animals. You already heard one story of that. And some thought that in the naming of the creatures, there may be a connectedness, a sense of responsibility, because the human is made to order and rule and to care for the creations. And sometimes we get the sense that it's ours to take and to wreck and to ruin, but it says you are to care, to serve, to be the steward. But back to verse 18, which gets a little bit more attention. It said that the Lord God said it is not good for the mud creature or the man to be alone. And God says, I will make him a helper as his partner. But did you notice first that God first makes all the animals and then gets back to the partner, to the helper? Because in all those creatures, man does not find one fit for him, does not find a helper or a partner. And you get the sense that it is not good to be alone, that we are meant to live in community, in relationship with others, with humankind. And a church really is a community made out of maybe still dirty and dusty people, made out of living folks, messy and graceful and clumsy and insightful and mistake-making and vision-giving people. It's not supposed to be a virtual church. You can't just do Facebook and that's enough. I checked in, I was here. No, you're supposed to sit next to each other and be in community and live with each other. See, all of us are planned for community in relationship with one another, with the Creator, with creation. And I think the vision here really is bigger than just saying, it's one pair and that's the ideal, man, woman, that's it, because you got a single pastor here. It's a little weird to preach it. Oh, that's ideal, not so much. And honestly, it's not saying no to same-sex relationships here. You've heard that, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Well, really? Blah, blah, blah. There's no naming here, even to chapter 5. What it's saying is we are made to be in community with each other. The powerful part that often gets overlooked are the words helper and partner. And we often think of helper as someone less than, the help, the assistant, go get my bags. But it's not in this. I was excited to find out the word for helper is used to describe God's work and God's being. God is the helper to God's creation. We are to be helpers like God is. And God invites us in, gifts us, forgives us, longs for us to live with each other as helpers, to find our place in God's creation. It is not a hierarchical thing. There's no subordination going on here. It's partnership. God puts the man, mud creature, to sleep and takes a rib out of him. Doctors love this. They go, ooh, the first surgery. Really? I don't think that was it either, but it's kind of interesting. It said God then made that rib, that bone, into a woman. That God creates a helper fit for the man. It started out of dust and got reshaped into a soulmate who will enter into relationship. There's an intimacy here. And I suspect that maybe you have heard along the way that this woman made out of Adam's rib says women is subordinate to men. Well, really, it is not in the text. It's about chronological time and not subordination. Man is in the beginning and woman is a it's the finishing, the culmination of creation. Phyllis Trible puts it this way. Man was not part of making woman. He was neither participant nor spectator nor consultant at her birth. Like man, a woman owns her life solely to God. And see, that flows back into the Genesis 1:27. God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, God created them. Male and female, he created them. God created us, gives us vocation, freedoms and limits, permits and prohibitions. God longs for us to be in community, to keep this holy balance as serving as God's helper, to follow in God's plan, to kind of grasp God's vision, to live in gratitude for this gift of life. And there's a balance to all that. There is a rabbinic little story that says all about being human beings is about life. It's like everyone should have one piece of paper. And on one side it says, I am but dust and ashes. And when you need to be reminded of that, to be reminded about whose you are and maybe to be a little bit more humble that you're getting, you pull out and read, I am but dust and ashes. But on the other side of the paper, for your low moments, it is a reminder. On that page is written, for my sake, the universe was created. See that balance. I am but ashes and dust. For my sake, the universe was created. Surely we are created out of dust to love and serve the Lord. Amen.